Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night once again here, and we have nothing to lose. Let's not go to sleep. Let's wake up and let's get fucked up and have fun tonight here. Our special guest tonight will be the Mr. Mike Brandt from Jacksonville, Illinois, a place I like to refer to as the J-hole. He's a comedian, he's a musician and filmmaker. But, you know, before we bring on our special guest tonight, I have to bring on my co-host, and we have to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, good Lord. Yeah. Any good red-blooded American would definitely, do that first, Pledge of Allegiance or whatnot. Yeah, Mr. Gasinski, Mr. Michael D. Gasinski, I am pretty sure I know you're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our other co-host, she's always a little late. I don't know why or what's up with that. You think she's slinging tacos somewhere in, like, the hood of
the trials and tribulations of a lush. I don't know.
Apparently, yes, yeah. So here we are, another Friday night, nothing to lose. Gonna have a good time, and yeah, I'm really excited about our special guest tonight, man. He, Mike Brandt. I mean, wow. You know, t- to be a stand-up comedian, to be, you know, a lead vocalist, you know, in a, like, a band or whatnot and everything. And Jesus, and make, you know, some really fun kind of off-the-wall films. I mean, wow.
I don't know where he finds the time.
And,
I mean,
you know what? Yeah, I know. You know what? That's why I admire this guy so much. And he's a dad, too. A father of three.
I've always admired stand-up comedians because you've got to be so quick-witted, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
To do, I mean, that's
art. Yeah, it is. It's an art form, yeah, for sure. And, you know, be able to get on stage and just, you know, put your balls on the wire there and let it go, you know. You don't know how the audience is going to respond or whatnot. So, anyhow, yeah, wow. It's really time for the Pledge of Allegiance. And hopefully our other co-host, you know, Dr. Quinn, will call in any minute here and we'll get her connected and then we'll move forward with, you know, nothing to lose on a Friday night, right?
Right.
All righty.
Right. You know, in oddball news, I've got to bring this up. Today.
Okay.
I saw, you know the actor Christopher Lee, who's like 91. He's been in, you know, like every film ever made. You know, he is releasing a heavy metal album next week.
What?
I just have to. Yes. The actor Christopher Lee, 91, I think he turns. Next
Good
week,
Lord.
He's releasing a heavy metal album.
Heavy metal. Well, you know,
heavy
that's
metal.
Another thing. That well, you know, that fits right in perfectly here tonight with our special guest, Mike Brandt. You know, he is, you know, the lead singer for Utter Chaos, and it's pretty much it's a pretty heavy metal type, you know. It's in that genre.
Get up there and rock out with Christopher Lee.
I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could. All right, you know what? Wow. Okay, we need the Pledge of Allegiance here. Okay, so everybody, yeah. Okay, remove your hat, remove your wig, and yeah. Whew, we're gonna go with the Pledge of Allegiance here, and then we will move forward with this show.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What do those words mean to you? To me, they say, thank you, America, for your strength, for your courage, and for our freedom, which has been a beacon to the world for 200 years.
Of the United States of America.
Whose bright stars are 50 states, each bearing its own stamp of individuality. People, 200 million strong. People who have come to her from all corners of the earth.
And to the republic for which it stands.
A land of laws with an ingenious system of checks and balances that allows no man to become a tyrant and lets no group prevail if their power is not tempered with a real concern for the government. A land where the right of dissent and free speech is jealously guarded. Where the ballot box is the sword, people, it's real.
Yeah, and you know, that shit brings a tear to my eye every fucking time I ever... Every time I play it. Especially when John Wayne. When you got... God damn, when you got John Wayne.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, exactly. Goosebumps, beyond goosebumps. I mean, I'm just going to flat out say it. I twinkle a little bit in my shorts. And I think, oh my gosh, I think our other special co-host, Dr. Quinn, is now here. Dr. Quinn, are you here?
I am here, gentlemen.
There she is. Wow, she was out.
Yeah,
I think she was out, like, buying booze or something.
I was, but now I'm, I'm trying to boot up my computer right now.
No, we don't need those details. We just need to hear about the important stuff.
So I don't know.
You're booting
maybe
up the computer? Okay. Wow.
I thought maybe
what
you're
else
protesting the Pledge of Allegiance or something.
I was what?
It's so unpatriotic. Wow.
Yeah. I thought maybe you're
protesting. Dude, you have no idea. You have no idea.
Oh, I do have an idea. I think both
Kevin
and
know?
I have an idea.
All right.
Well, you know what? Get your shit together Dr. Quinn, okay? You know, hey.
A quick
question, Dr. Quinn.
Yes, sir?
How is the cost? Yeah, have you conquered the cost? Are you done?
Well, funny you should ask that. I was just sitting here thinking, shit, I didn't take my Zyrtec today.
What's a Zyrtec? Please explain.
Zyrtec is allergy medicine.
Allergy medicine, huh? Okay.
Yeah, so this, I don't know, it might get dicey after a while.
Dicey? Wow, okay, that's what
dicey.
We like here. That's what we like here on Nothing to Lose, because you know what, it's a Friday night, and we have nothing to lose, and we have a great freaking guest tonight here, Mr. Mike Brandt, you know, stand-up comedian, musician, filmmaker, I mean, you know, how can you go wrong with that, all right? So that's all under control then, right?
We'll try.
Okay.
We'll see.
How long have you been on antibiotics now? Penicillin and all that good stuff?
No, I haven't been on antibiotics. I took that within the first week of my pneumonia. So
pneumonia.
I'm guessing that's what it had to be. I don't know, but I took antibiotics and then this is where we're at now. What?
All right. Well, okay. Yeah. Get your shit together there, Dr. Quinn. And
it's fine. I'm just. Stop it.
Okay. All right. Well, so, hey, let's bring on our special guest tonight, Mr. Mike Brandt. He is from Jacksonville, Illinois. You know, when I say, every time I hear the word Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville, Florida, you know. But no, there is actually a Jacksonville in the Midwest, in the state of Illinois. And this guy, Mike Brandt, he's very talented, stand-up comedian, musician, and filmmaker, you know. And so we're going to bring him on. For this special Memorial Day weekend edition of Nothing to Lose, and I'm sure he feels like he has nothing to lose, or I hope he can deal with us. But I'm really happy and excited to bring on Mr. Mike Brandt from the J-hole of Jacksonville, Illinois. Mr. Mike Brandt. Mr. Mike Brandt, are you there, buddy?
Hello, what's going on?
Hi, man.
Hey.
Good to have you on. Wow.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, you know, okay, just to give a little introduction for Mr. Mike Brandt. Gosh, he is, you know, like I said, he's a comedian. He is a musician with the band Utter Chaos. I mean, right? And he, you know, Lord. Yeah, and I want to brag a little bit. His short film appeared on the front cover of Zygote My Coffee number 139, called Adult Bedtime Stories. He appeared as Bucky the Clown, and it was hilarious. And this guy is gonna be doing his stand-up comedy, and his band Utter Chaos will be also here in Jacksonville, Illinois. June 22nd for the big Nothing to Lose reading going on there. And all right, Mr. Mike Brandt, welcome. Welcome.
Sweet. It's past my bedtime, people.
It's past, okay. Yeah, all right. Well, good night, and we are done with our interview with Mr. Mike Brandt. Just kidding, man. No, seriously, man. It's great to have you on here, and I have, you know, utmost respect for you and what you do. Gosh darn. How do you do it? I mean, okay, first of all, stand-up comedy, being a stand-up comedian, that right there, I mean, that takes balls to get in front of people, an audience, you know, not knowing how they're going to respond to, you know, your jokes, et cetera. I mean, what inspired you to be a stand-up comedian? What
inspired me, man? I was in a band when I was 15, and we kind of broke up. And I was like, man, I need to get back on stage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I started another band, man, and done the band thing for music for a while. And then I was like, man, I'm going to try something different. So I had an opportunity to do a comedy show. My first comedy show was still to this day my best comedy show ever. it's actually on YouTube. You guys ought to check that out. What got me going on it? I don't know, man. It was just I wanted to be on stage, and everybody's like, you should try it. So I wrote down a bunch of crazy shit, and it works out, man. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. You know,
right. Okay. Well, I mean, do you have any, like, influences as far as, like, you know, stand-up comedy goes? I mean, is there, you know, Richard Pryor or anybody else like that? I mean, what?
Oh, yeah. I like all the old, you know, like George Carlin, of course.
Oh, yeah.
A big Cheech and Chong fan, man. And their stand-up. Their stuff, you know, I mean, I actually got a chance to meet the cats in Chicago a couple years ago, and they were, you know, super nice guys. And I mean, that's the highlight of my comedy thing. I got to, you know, and just doing these little shows around Illinois and Missouri and stuff. I mean, it's trying to work my way out, but, yeah, you know, it's working out, man. I mean.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, okay. So how do you prepare for a show? How do you prepare? Do you do a lot of, like, pre-writing and kind of, like, map it out? I'm the type of person that, you know, I'm a creative type person, and I find it very intriguing, the whole creative process and preparing for something like that. I mean, what was, you know, your process, or how did you prepare for doing the stand-up comedy?
I used my wife. I just told her.
Your wife.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some of them I couldn't use on her because they were about her, but, you know, it's all, you know, I do a set list. Not a lot of comedians, like, memorize their shit.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of shit that goes on in his head, man, so, I mean, I need something to keep me on track, so I write a set list and go with that, man. I know my jokes, you know, I know what I'm going to do.
Right.
I know how it's going to work out for the most part.
How much of it depends on, you know, playing on the audience? I mean, you ever play off of the audience when they, you know?
You know, I usually just get up there and do my routine, and I try not to pick on the audience because, I mean, you know, I'm already uncomfortable. People's uncomfortable. You don't want to start fucking with people, you know? I mean, now hecklers, that's a different story, you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't enjoy it, but I do, at the, you know, just because you can be a total dick and you pay
right.
for it. You know, usually, and I'm a fairly small guy, and usually, you know, either they shut up or they want to kick my ass after the show. Like, you know, good big buddies that hang out with me all the time, so, you know.
That's great. I mean, so have you ever had, like, an incident where you were, you know, being heckled a lot and kind of heckled or felt intimidated or, I mean...
One night in Jacksonville, here in town, man, we actually got a show at a bar, man, and there was probably 100 people in there. And it actually didn't happen to me. It was my show, but I felt bad for the other comedian, man, one of my good buddies, Mike Mayberry. he's up on stage, and this is no shit, man. It was a cross-dresser. Like, we couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. She come up and grabbed his beer and started chugging it and, like, begged us, you know, in front of, like, 100 people that she could be funnier than us. And so we gave her the mic, and, yeah, she wasn't very fucking funny, man.
That's
really,
great.
Really uncomfortable moment. Because, I mean, I was the asshole because I was like, okay, man, here's 5 minutes, you know. And it didn't work out too good for none of us.
That's great.
So we got paid to get the hell out of there. Yeah.
I mean, okay, so as far as the stand-up comedy goes, you know, you draw a lot of your material from just your everyday experiences or, you know, in life, you know, real life with family, et cetera, or what?
For the most part, it's real life stuff, but it's so fucking twisted, you know, around. Like, yeah. You got to make it interesting. I mean, some of them are true stories. I mean, it totally happened, and some of them are out of this fucked up brain of mine. So, you
right,
know, I mean,
right.
And a lot of it's spare of the moment stuff. You know, I mean, if I'm up there and something feels right, I'm doing it. If
right.
it don't go right, usually I do it anyway, and
right.
it works out, man.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you know, taking stuff from real life and sort of improvising and twisting it.
Right.
Or whatnot. Yeah, yeah. Well, cool, man. And, wow, you know, and given the fact, you know, you are a stand-up comedian, you are Bucky the Clown, which we will elaborate on. Bucky the Clown. Wow, that's how I first got to know you. Bucky the fucking clown. too damn funny. But anyhow. And plus, you are a musician. Tell us a little bit about your band, Utter Chaos, and what inspired that.
Well, Utter Chaos, we're from here in town, in Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
We started in like 2005, went through 3 million bass players. There's a couple more, you know, me and Dewey Surratt,
uh-huh.
Mike Morris, Josh, and Tiny. We've been doing it for a minute now. And we just started it back up. We had a, you know, trying to get our name back out there. You know, old guys trying to live the dream still, you know.
Yeah.
But actually, when we first started out, about a year into it, man, we got signed through a company out of Honolulu, Hawaii, called Obscure Records, and got to do a little touring and stuff. You know, I mean, we done pretty good for it, and then that company went under, and of course, we stuck here in Jacksonville. And like you said earlier, I'm a father, so when you got 3 freaking kids, you can't really scoot out. I mean, not that I don't want to, but
right.
No, I mean, but you know,
right.
I mean, we still do it. We do it locally. We do shows here. We go to Springfield, Illinois, which is the capital here, and you know, I mean, that's a good scene. And you know, Peoria, Illinois, Chicago, St. Louis is close to us. I mean, we get out. I mean, not too far, but we're working on it, man. We're just gonna take it day by day and show by show. Oh yeah, we got an album out. We got an album. We're working on the second album now.
Okay.
You know, recording it up and.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. What's that?
No, I was just going to ask. You know, you got an album out. I mean, how can people find that or access that or buy it? I mean, or upload it.
Well, right now it's on Reverb Nation under Chaos Official.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you can get on our Facebook, which is Utter Chaos.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you just get a hold of us. We could ship them, whatever. We don't have no store or anything right now for it. We just,
right.
Like I said, we started back up probably 3 months ago. We got our old stuff down. We're working on, we got about 5 new songs, so we're going to be cranking them out June 22nd there at the show here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun time. I look forward to hanging out with you there. But.
Okay. Hey, I haven't had a chance, since I just got home like a half an hour ago, what is the what is your type of music?
It's heavier music. It's kind of heavy metal.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, heavy metal. I don't know how to Yes, it's heavy in your face.
Do we mean for running for? Do we? Is it, you know, hair band metal? What is what?
No, not hair band. Fuck that hair band shit. Come on now.
I'm asking the question. It could be an ironic thing. I don't know.
It's kind of like a heavier southern heavy metal. I don't. Pantera ish. You know, bands like Black Label.
Quinn, you ever go to a bar, like a heavy metal bar? It's kind of like bar metal, you know, where...
Right.
It's something, you go see a metal band in a bar, that's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear, that's their sound, in my opinion.
That guy's probably seen my band at the bar. Yeah, that's exactly, you're exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's in bar metal.
Yeah, you're right. It's good to listen to when you're drunk.
Yeah,
That's when we sound the best is when you're drunk.
Everything sounds or looks better when you're intoxicated.
Yes,
indeed.
Looks better for sure.
Right.
What's the saying? You know, women in used cars all look good from a distance, isn't that the saying?
Great. That's.
No, but Gesinski, you brought up a good point there. Bar metal, I like that term.
That's perfect.
Bar metal.
Yeah, well, my buddies and I used to, you know, we used to go when I lived in California. There were a couple clubs locally that had metal bands that hit the bar circuit throughout California, come down from Saco and L.A. and all that, and they all had that kind of that sound, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Had chaos, you know.
Yeah, it's grungy in your face metal, man. I mean, that's a lot of people like it. Man. I mean, it gets out there.
Mm-hmm.
But
good stuff.
And you said something about Bucky the Clown earlier. We're actually
wait. Why do you hate people that you have a clown in your repertoire?
What's that?
I said, why do you hate people that you would have a clown in your repertoire?
No, I don't.
Because I guess clowns are, you know, this big deal to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. People, you wouldn't believe all the... Actually, what started Bucky is I scared the shit out of a girl. She doesn't like clowns. So, you know, she didn't like them.
Okay, so why do you hate people?
I don't hate people.
No. What's Bucky the Clown have to do with hating people? Let him explain Bucky the Clown, the origin. That's exciting.
I don't know. I don't know. We just write it and go with it. There's really no thought process to it.
We
never even thought about it like that.
I'm being facetious, of course, but I just thought it was kind of funny because people hate clowns so much. And
right.
I don't know. Anyway, okay.
I don't hate clowns. I'm
I don't
very...
I don't have a problem with
I
them.
Hate everybody
I really,
and everything.
Well, yes, this is true.
clowns, whatever, you know.
But clowns, no. I've always had a morbid fascination with clowns, and that's one of the first reasons I even met or encountered Mr. Mike Brandt was because of, Buck the Clown and his, adult bedtime stories. I saw the little short film, and I was like, wow, this is hilarious, this is great. This guy's a fucking genius, comedic genius. I mean, right there, I saw that film. I was like, wow, this guy, yeah, he has tapped into something, and he really has. And you know, I've always found clowns fascinating, and or whatnot, or you know, a little creepy, you know, but creepy in a good way. you know, I mean, fucking Ronald McDonald. You know, We grew up with Ronald McDonald. You don't see him on, you know, commercials and everything every day when I was a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s. You know, you don't see those anymore, I guess.
Even the old
Bozo
guy. He's kind of creepy.
So, Mike, Bucky the Clown, your inspiration, I mean, there has to be some sort of... inspiration or background to the whole Bucky the Clown persona? I mean, really, please elaborate.
It was going to be a Halloween costume. And I put it on, and apparently I wasn't very good at makeup, and my kids were like, what? And, well, you know, they were scared to death of it. So I used that to my advantage and, you know, chased my kids around a little bit. Uh-huh. And we just started snapping pictures of it, and then I just started thinking of these ideas I could do with Bucky the Clown. Like, there's a whole bunch. I mean, like I said, June 22nd, I think we're gonna try to put a new one out there for you guys. We've been working on ideas. Bucky the Clown. Oh, yeah, it's going to be – it's twisted, man. I mean, you know, and it ain't just me. Right? It's my buddy Nick Mankard. He mm-hmm. writes a bunch of stuff, too. I mean, he's the one that actually does all the filming and the editing and all that good stuff, man. I mean, I just show up and think of it.
All right. Okay. That's cool that you mentioned Nick Manker. You know, so he's a writer. He writes comedy. I mean,
he writes a little bit of everything, man.
Really?
Mm. Okay. Oh yeah. Actually, like I was saying, is we got two other little short films out too, which they're not like Bucky at all. They're trying to try to do a bunch of different gender movies, and you know, I mean, just we got one at the Western. Called The Brother's Deed. That's
right.
Man. It's out there. We tried to be serious, but we're not cowboys. So, and it was hot as hell because I got tattoos all over me, so I can never take off my shirt. That was not fun. And we got a Mr. Jack, which that's a principal that kills the students. It's out there, but it's got a lot of hits in it. People like it, man. That's what actually inspired us to start making the others. The first Mr. Jack was a school project for Nick, and it was supposed to be a 5-minute movie or a 5-minute like commercial. Ended up being a 15-minute movie, and he ended up, you know, the teacher gave him a 29 out of 30 because he said that I didn't fit the profile of a principal, and I said fuck too much. So
he said fuck too much. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. We know that, you know, you're a stand-up comedian, and you are involved with the band. You're a musician, et cetera. And now you're talking about, you know, your films. What's the filmmaking process like for you? I know you make films, but what is the? To make a film, it's a very collaborative sort of process, and it involves so many people. And, you know, a lot of people kind of take that for granted, that there's so many people involved in making a film. Even if it's just a short, you know, 3, 4, or 5 minute film, it takes, like, days and days to, you know, put something like that together and edit it and film it and get, you know, just get all the actors, to, you know, together. What's the filmmaking process like for you, man? I mean, and is there a budget? I mean, or is it
budget? What's that? Yeah, no, there's absolutely no budget. No, no, if it costs money, we're not doing it. No, we got the first thing is, man, you got to find people to do it.
Right.
I mean, you know, you as soon as we made the first, you know, the first little film, you know, we had 50 people, man, we'll be in the next one, man. But when it comes time to be in the next one, man, they're not around. You know, first of all, you got like pretty much beg people, you know, like, hey, man, come on. You don't even have to say a word. Just stand there, you know, do something. And pretty much, I mean, we, like I said, we're not writers. I mean, there's no dialogue. We just kind of go with it, like, hey, this might sound like it works. I mean, like, maybe slight dialogue, you know, we kind of got an idea what we're doing. We'll jot down ideas of like the location and what we got to do and record all the shit that we need to do at that location that day, go to the next location, do it like, you know, like that, just location to location, mm-hmm. making sure the people, you know, have time. We both got SUVs, so we got to pile it up and give the people a ride just to make sure they're showing up. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a pain in the ass. And
right.
But, I mean, when the process is done, I mean, it's sweet. It's fun.
Well, yeah. The final product, yeah. Absolutely. I've worked on, believe it or not, many films and all that, and other projects, you know. And, yeah, there's nothing like that natural high you get from the final finished product, you know. And but I know there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, you know what I mean, just to get that final product. And you know, that's what I find really fascinating. And yeah, like you said, you know, I mean, just, you know, your adult bedtime stories video, just to me, hilarious. That's how I first discovered you,
right,
and
right.
and discovered your sordid sort of you know, twisted sense of humor, which I can relate to in so many ways. And yeah, geez, man, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of like really intrigued by. Okay, so did you have a cinematographer or whatnot, a certain person like that was the cameraman, or did you hand? I mean, what was the process? I mean,
yeah,
we had
a cameraman.
What was the process like for you, putting bedtime stories together? Just out of curiosity.
Putting it together. Well, first of all, we had and like you said, you know, finding time with the family too, man.
Right.
You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like a lot of, like, well, you know, Carrie Spencer was in Bucky the Clown in the shower scene.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my kids had to sit behind the camera and we had to keep telling them, like, shh, you know, because they were like, we're at my house. We had, you know, so that was it. You know, my kids sat there and watched Carrie get butchered with a freaking knife in the shower.
I don't know if I should be laughing at that or or not. Yeah, that's kind of twisted and creepy,
yeah,
but at the same time. Huh?
I always say that because, like, you know, my boy that was in a tray, he was the little boy in there. He's always got his buddies come over, and they're like, you know, he'll get on the computer like, Dad, I want to show him Bucky. You know, so I got all these kids with Bucky the Clown, and they're always talking about the dog biting my wang off, and which I had to pay my dog really good to do that. It took forever, and he wasn't down, man. He wasn't down with biting the wang off. So, yeah, poor puppy. He's traumatized, man. He don't eat hot dogs no more.
That's great. So, how long did it actually take you to make that film?
The recording. We probably had like probably 5 recording sessions. Which
oh, really?
2-3 hours. Yeah, you know, I mean, just because we had to, like, all the jumping scenes we did on trampoline, and then we had to go get everybody together, go to another location, and then we had, like it was like parts, different days we done all of it with
mm-hmm.
different people. You know, I mean, it took about probably 5 days just for the recording,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 days, and then whenever we had time to edit, you know, I mean, that's
right.
That's what the time. I mean, editing.
Oh yeah,
sound
the post production. Yeah,
that was the thing. Which, like I said, I'm glad Nick was around because it would have never got done if it was up to me. Because
that's the thing with filmmaking. It's a very, very much a, you know, a process that involves many people. You know. All right. So hey, hold on here. We're going to take a quick break, and Mr. Bucky the Clown, a.k.a. Mike Brandt, please stay on here, and we're going to talk with you a little bit more about your band, Utter Chaos, etc. Okay? All right, we're going to be right back here.
In a land called Honolulu, little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pop and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. The magic around.
Puff the Magic Dragon, indeed. Yeah. I got a little puffy when I just took a piss. That's our special piss break song, and we are live with Mr. Mike Brandt from J-Hole, Illinois. And he's a great musician, comedian, filmmaker, etc., and we are, you know, and he is going to be there live as Bucky the Clown and as a stand-up comedian, and also his band Utter Chaos in the J-Hole, Jacksonville, Illinois, on June 22nd for the special Nothing to Lose poetry show. And I'm really excited that he's here with us and hanging out and you know, putting up with our generic shit. Thanks again, Mike Brandt. So hey, man. Yeah. All right. Seriously, dude. I really, really appreciate it. So wow. Okay. So Puff the Magic Dragon, Mike. Yay or nay?
Yeah, I was puffing the Magic Dragon myself. And I mean that in the...
What exactly does that mean?
What's that?
I said, what exactly does puffing the Magic Dragon mean? Is there a particular meaning, or should I just make one up?
Yeah, you can just make one up.
Okay.
That's what I do. If I'm not sure,
I got it. There was another question that was posed to me today earlier. I don't know if you saw it, Mike, but I'm supposed to ask you something about threading.
Threading?
And have you done it?
Threading, yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, see, Brian thinks he knows what I'm talking about, but I don't think he does.
I
don't think he does.
Yeah, what threading. Is threading?
Yeah, what is threading?
Okay.
I might have done it.
Threading is... In the context of which I'm talking, it is not threading a needle. It is threading as in ripping your hair out with a thread.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
No idea.
One of your fans asked if this was after the great threading incident.
Great threading incident.
And so I'm assuming that maybe you had some hair ripped out with thread.
Maybe that fan was puffing the Magic Dragon.
Yeah,
sounds like it.
Maybe, I don't know, but that was the question that was posed. That's all. I'm just, you know, putting it out there for you.
Nope, no threading for me.
Okay.
Yeah,
I might try it in the bathroom later, you know. But
yeah, exactly. Threading.
You know,
see,
threading.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. I agree with you. It's like threading, you know, when I hear somebody say, okay, you're threading, or this chick is threading. Yeah, I think threading, okay, that sounds like, you know, a little bit of, you know, the old left-handed, like, dithering, whatever, like you said, in the bathroom or whatever.
Wait. How do you get threading, or how do you get masturbation out of threading? Seriously.
Okay. Well,
Brian,
you know,
gets masturbation out of everything.
No, I want to know that thought process. Huh?
Hello? What? Whatever. Okay, hey, you know what? We're not threading right now. We're talking to Mr. Mike Brandt.
I want to know more about the band, man.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I want to hear more. Exactly. I want to talk more about one of the songs I particularly like, Mike, from the band Utter Chaos, is Baby Ruth.
Oh, yeah. The heavy metal blues riff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Baby Ruth.
Well, you know, the reason that came along is how many heavy metal bands do you know that are bar metal? I like that, man. How many bar metal bands do you see playing blues and metal? You know, I mean, everybody likes blues, and if you don't, there's probably something wrong with you.
Oh,
you know,
I agree.
So, I mean,
Yeah,
everybody likes blues, so we throw it out there. And I mean, of course, it's not, you know, I mean, every night it sounds different, of course. But, yeah, it's a... which is
depending on the quantity of alcohol or what, or party favor.
There's a whole bunch of circumstances that go on, you know. Yeah, no, yeah, Baby Ruth, man, that's... We done that song live in Maridosha, Illinois.
Maridosha. That sounds fancy.
Illinois.
Now, when you were touring with the band, you said you went and played a little bit when you were signed with that label in Honolulu. Did you meet anyone like famous? You toured with anybody, you know?
No, we played with a band called Atreyu once in Quincy, Illinois, and opened up our band called Switched. Those were like our highlights of
rock
and roll. Right. But, I mean, they just started out, just fucking big. This was a fucking little dive bar in Quincy. I mean, it, you know, still nice to tell people that.
Yeah,
right.
You know, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, we play with bigger bands around here. You know, I like everywhere's got bigger, you know, the band of the town or whatever, you know what I mean? Or that, like, little area code, wherever they're from. And
area
play
code.
All the, we played with all their little groups, you know. I mean, fuck, we played with nobody major, man. I wish we did. I mean, but that's why I'm.
Well, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be. I mean, some bands are legends, but they're not like major, you know. I had a buddy, there's a band called The Mentors. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but I had a buddy who toured with them, and that's like the highlight of his life, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they're like,
yeah, we never got to do nothing. I mean, nothing major. We actually got to go on a tour when I was in a band called Scarred before this. We'd done like an East Coast, went to like New York and Columbus, Ohio and Canada and stuff like that. I mean, that was a good time. At the time, it sucked ass. You know, you live in a van with five dudes, you know, eating bologna on hand sandwiches. But, you know, then you're like, this fucking sucks. I can't wait to get home. But now I'm 36 years old and I was 18 at the time. And I'm like, God damn. I would love to be there again, you know, right now.
Right.
Go.
Well, that's another question I have for you, man. Mike, is you know, how do you find, or how do you balance? You're a father, of course. You have what, three kids? Is this correct?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you balance that? You know, the whole creative process, being a stand-up comedian, musician, et cetera, you know, and you know, part-time filmmaker or whatnot. With, you know, with having a family and kids. I mean, that to me, I really, really admire that, because it's not easy to maintain that balance. I mean, how do you find, you know, a way to balance that?
My better half, man.
Your better half?
You know, my wife, she does. She's amazing, man. She, you know, she's the one that lets me, she allows me to do what I do, you know, still. You know, I mean, if... I don't know. You know, that's it, man. I mean, she watches the kids when I do stuff, you know, or they could go with her.
Right.
I mean, she allows it. I mean, I can't really do nothing without somebody watching. You know, I mean, like you said, I'm a father, man. I gotta.
Mm-hmm.
That's who watches my kids, man. If I'm not here, she's here. If, you know, if
right.
I can't take my kids, like tomorrow, we're driving to Daytona, Florida, with our kids. You know. I'm getting ready to. I'm going to try to actually hit up an open mic there and do some stand up in Daytona.
Oh, that's awesome. You got to get some video of it, buddy.
I videotape every show I've ever done, comedy, man, is on video. Not all of them's on YouTube, but just find the time to put them on. But yeah, you know, I mean, and that. A lot of people's worried about the money thing, too, man. You know, you want, you know, we're not playing unless we make the money. We're not doing this, and, you know, it's all about money with music. Musicians around here, in my area anyway, everybody wants, we ain't doing it without money. We do it to have a good time. If it was about money, I would have quit a long time ago. But, you know, the comedy thing, I made more money doing that in like three years I've been doing it than music the whole fucking time I've been doing it. So, I mean, it's a good time balancing it out. But, I do it just to have a good time, man, not nothing else.
Right.
Just, you know, it's a good time. I'm trying to get into other little crazy projects, you know. I'm rebuilding a bike right now.
Building a bike? What kind of bike?
Motorcycle. I mean, I posted the shit out of that. It's a Honda, and I can't afford a Harley, so I'm just going to make it a fucking rat rod. So I've been doing, you know, just all. Check out my Facebook, man. It's on there. It's my piece. The Honda Davidson.
An actual motorcycle. So you're like the, what's that reality show where the guy is like a son and, you know, and a father are like rivals or something, building motorcycles or whatever?
My shit's not nearly as cool as hers. No. Hell no. Yeah, I wish. I wish it was like that. No, this is a piece of shit. I'm not mechanically inclined at all. So I've had it for 3 years, and it's only been around my block twice. So, I mean, that tells you. But I'll tell you, it looks really fucking cool. Okay?
Yeah.
That's about it.
Well, as long as it looks
stare,
cool.
I'll stare at it for 3 hours and wish I could ride it. But, you know, I mean, that's about
just wheel it out
ago.
In your driveway and drink beers next to it, or what?
Yeah. Put my helmet on, take pictures by it like I've just been cruising.
There you go.
Yeah, back it up.
Yeah, make it look good. Who cares if it
looks like it's broken somewhere? Yeah.
That's beautiful. Who cares if it actually runs or anything? Just, take pictures of yourself standing there holding a beer, looking all cool and shit in front of it, and post it on Facebook, and you'll be a superstar.
Right.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I was also thinking, you know, you could push it up like 10 foot and make it look like you've actually been somewhere else.
Right.
You know, with the photos. That's a great idea, man.
Oh, yeah, you know, and, you know, we all need a hobby and all that, and, you know, I just wish I had, like, one iota of, like, manliness to fucking, you know, do something with a motorcycle or a car or whatever. I mean, I think the farthest I've ever gone is changing a goddamn battery in a, you know, a fucking 2000 Toyota Highlander or whatever, you know, Camry. So I really admire that. You know, my dad was into that too. You know, he had like a 77 Corvette. He was passionate about and did all this, you know, work with it, et cetera. And yeah, so I mean, really, I mean, I find that just as fascinating as, you know, being a stand-up comedian or a writer or whatnot, whatever. I mean, It takes a certain amount of personal, you know, commitment and everything to do something like that and to stick with it. And, I mean, what's that like for you? I mean, working on this motorcycle that you're talking about. Compared to, like, say.
The motorcycle, it's fun. You know, it gives me the. You know, I do manly shit. You know, that's my man. That's my man shit. Instead of sitting here doing this in my house, I make a good house, bitch, man. So it's good for me to be out doing manly shit. That's like I said. As much as me doing, I might tighten a bolt and stand back 20 minutes and stare at it like, damn, it looks pretty goddamn cool, man. I need to,
that's great.
Yeah, on it. Just stick with Facebook. Or something, you know?
Right. That's
unbelievable.
That's,
I'm sure someday I will. It will run.
That's
it
great.
It will run.
Do you have, like, the leather jacket and the whole nine yards, or what?
No, I don't. I will, though.
You know what would be even cooler?
Once I join a biker gang or something, you know, I'll have to have my whatever. So, that's what I want to do, man, like Sons of Rainbows or, you know, something cool like that. The Hellions or, I don't know. I don't run. Maybe
Mike,
I need friends at Mike.
Mike. Mr. Mike,
yes.
Brandt. I think it would be cool for you to ride your reconstructed motorcycle dressed up as Bucky the Clown. Now that, you could start your own gang right there.
let me, hold on. I got something better. I got a 1 kg little sticker. also, and actually that's probably going to be in the next film.
Oh, really?
The next Bucky. Yeah, I got a little 150 scooter that's blinged out for the, it'll be fun. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. Surprise. Yeah, so, Bucky, like I said, the Bucky thing, man, we're going to really try to push another one of them, you know, little short films out for that.
Right.
I'd like to try to have it done before the show here in Jacksonville you guys are throwing, so that might be a possibility. Just, you know, the premiere.
You know. I'm a hardcore fan of Bucky the Clown. I just have to admit, and that's how I first discovered you and kind of met you, and, you know, and then, you know, since then, I've heard so much about you and what you do, and, you know, I mean, gosh darn, you know, stand-up, comedian, blah, 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 Bucky the Clown, you know, and you're in a band, and that's, you know, that's just amazing to me. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and we will be right back here. We're going to take we're going to do like another one of those little piss breaks, and we'll be right back, and we will move forward. And once again, we'd like to thank Mr. Mike Brandt for being on here and sharing his stuff, and I can't wait to meet this fella in the J-hole of Illinois. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back with Nothing to Lose on a Friday night. Well, I guess, you know, technically in some time zones it's already, it's already Saturday morning. But here we are with another, you know, night of Nothing to Lose with Mike Brandt, our special guest. And so Mike, I'm just curious, you know, when you do get into Bucky mode, how long does it take you to, you know, do the whole makeup and everything?
Oh, about 5 minutes. I just let the
shit
on and go. Yeah, man. I mean, if you actually, if you focus on the short film, you'll see the makeup's never the same, man. I mean, it's girl and guy.
Well, I would see. I'm going to have to look.
I might be a weirdo, but I really don't like driving around my hometown dressed like a fucking clown, you know. So, girl, go and record and come on, man.
That's great. So you don't do like parties, kids parties and stuff like that or anything.
No.
You should.
Like I said, the first time I done the Bucky thing, man, it was this girl's birthday party I worked with. She just turned 21, drinking, you know, all that stuff. Well, I dressed like Bucky because, I mean, she's scared to death of him, and everybody thought it was cool. We recorded it. So I go and hide in this dark closet, and she comes home, starts opening her presents, and she got a bunch of her friends there and shit, and I just kind of ran out. I think the girl twisted her ankle really bad. She ran out from stairs and busted her ass, and I felt pretty shitty about it. I still scared her, of course, when she couldn't get away, but I, you know, it was a good time, you know. And after that,
sounds like a good time. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the guys that set it up were up on top of the porch like, Mike, she's had enough. I felt like a dick afterwards, but I was like, it looks good on film. Perfect. Fuck her.
That's all that matters, man. Looks good on film.
She was a coworker. She wasn't real friends. I mean, no, she's a good girl, man. But it was fun, and I'm going to do it to her again. Well,
excellent.
You'll be great. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's great. All right. It's serious time now, Mr. Mike Brandt. Wow. I do this to every guest we have on. This is just a standard here at Nothing to Lose. And, you know, you'll get even more of it in the J-hole, a.k.a. Jacksonville, coming up here June 22nd. But for this interview, this is just, you know, this is the standard. And I have to ask you these questions. We have a set standard of questions that we ask every guest we have on, okay? Are you prepared? Brace yourself.
I'm ready. Go for it.
All right. Here we go. All right. I hate to do this to you, buddy. I love clowns and I love mimes, and you know I've done a lot of miming in my, you know. But anyhow, here we go. Question number one, Mr. Mike Brandt. Do you make eye contact when you make love?
Of course. If she had eyes in the back of her head.
Can you elaborate on your eye contact?
It's normally squinting and nothing. I don't know. No, I can't. Uncomfortable.
Well, is it uncomfortable to make eye contact when you make love or what?
Well, just yeah. I don't know. No.
Really? Okay.
My
that's wife great.
Really staring at a hairy, sweaty guy.
So making eye contact when you make love. You know, that's such a generic kind of term.
Yeah.
What about Well, okay. All right. Would it make you more comfortable? I just said like having sex or just fucking. I mean, what do you feel about making? Huh?
What do I feel about making love?
Well, you know, just
probably
do you
same
make
as
eye
you guys.
Contact?
Do I make eye contact? Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
Okay, all right.
Sometimes.
So your final answer regarding eye contact, well, you know, okay, I'll make this very sterile. So, your final answer regarding do you make eye contact while engaged in copulation? Yes or no? Yay or nay?
Yeah, of course, yes.
Really? Wow. Okay. Okay. All right. Wow, you're a rare breed there. Rare, very rare breed. Not many people I've asked this, you know, making eye contact during, you know, intercourse or what do you want to call it, or copulation. Yeah. Wow, and you're into that, huh? I mean, do you think it enhances the whole experience?
I'm a dude. It don't matter if we're looking at it or not. As long as I get my whatever. It's like a roller coaster ride, dude. If she don't get off and I get off, she wastes the next ride.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
The eyes, the back of the head, the top of the head, it's all the same, man.
Whatever. You could be wearing a fucking mask or a bag. I don't care as long as they're just
cold. That's beautiful. See there. Okay. That's exactly. Okay. That's
and
what
I'm talking like
for
that. She's in bed right now, sleeping, so she don't know what I'm saying. So, yeah, go ahead.
And hopefully she will not hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to get you in trouble, Mr. Mike Brand. I really don't.
I don't.
But you are on a show called Nothing to Lose, and you are coming to a show doing your stand-up comedy and a show called Nothing to Lose, and we will be there. And we will make sure you have nothing to lose by the end of the night. I'm so looking forward to your stand-up and your stand-up comedy and utter chaos, et cetera, and even maybe a little cameo appearance from the what Bucky the Clown? All right, so anyhow, Mr. Mike Brand, question number two, and, you know, this one, this question seems to really, it really seems to rub a lot of people the wrong way because they take it really seriously, but do you think it's ethical to the little thumbs up thingy, your own posts on Facebook, and do you do it? If not, do you know someone who does?
I have liked my own post. I have, man. Just just a kind of. I don't know. Some of it. I don't know why. I just do it.
So, ding, you're guilty. You're guilty of liking your own post.
Yeah, I've done it.
Oh God, you're going straight to Facebook purgatory.
When you do it, do you do it on posts that you really, really like, or is it just you just kind of it happens?
Hey, it just happens. I mean, I get it. It happens, man. I just like it.
No.
I like button. I'm sorry.
It just happens by that you mean it just you accidentally pushed
by just pushing the button like
that's
please
great
the fifth.
Please the fifth. Oh, I plead the 27th half the time, but yeah, all right. All right, question number three, Mr. Mike Brandt. Would you ever consider activating a middle initial to enhance your career as, you know, a musician or writer or comedian or whatever? It seems to me that a lot of people have, like, this fancy middle initial. I have just started doing it myself. I call myself Brian W. Dodd Fugier instead of just being Brian Fugier. And both my co-hosts both have middle initials. Michael D. Gasinski and Michelle L. Quinn. So, I mean, what do you think about the whole middle initial thing? I know many famous writers, et cetera, have, you know, used or utilized a middle initial. What do you think about that? Middle initial, yay or nay?
Never thought about that, but no, probably not.
Yeah, you should start considering it now. Okay. Well, what is your middle initial, anyhow? What would everyone like see you as or call you, Mike? What brand? I'm sorry, what was
Michael,
that?
I'd be Michael J. Brandt.
J. Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's beautiful. Because it goes
Jay
perfectly with Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. Jacksonville.
Yeah, you'd be Mike J. Hole Brandt. That would be... that would make you very famous.
Jay is dignified, like Homer J. Simpson, right?
Right. All right. Okay, now, all right. Mr. Michael Brandt, here's the final question. Are you brace yourself, okay?
I'm braced.
You're braced. Okay, here you go. I mean, you're not under oath or anything like that, you know. But, okay, here we go. I have found that, oh, God. You ready for this, Mike?
I hope.
All right. So, anyhow, threesomes, I think, reveal a lot about who we are. You know, if you were ever involved in a threesome, would you be the queen bee or the worker bee? Wow. Dead silence.
I lost for words, man. I don't.
That's okay. I didn't, you know, I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable there. But it's just one of our standard questions here on our final, like, you know, exit interview. Have you ever been involved in a threesome? I mean, first of all.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Next question, please.
No, that's the final question.
Great.
So just, I mean, okay. Just theoretically, you don't, you know, would you be the queen bee or would you be a worker bee?
It would be nice to be the queen bee.
Good answer. Yeah. But what do you think, though? Like,
but in my, looking, you know, at myself here in the mirror, more likely I'm the one. Yeah. Whatever, you know. I'll be any fucking bee she wants, dude.
That's great.
They want. In this threesome, that's two chicks, one dude, right? Dude, me.
I didn't know that. I did not specify if it was two chicks, one guy, or two guys, one chick. I mean, no.
Yeah.
Either.
Crazy.
All right, Mike. All right. Well, thanks so much for being on, man, and thanks for being here, and I cannot wait to hang out with you in Jacksonville, the, as I like to call it, the J-hole. The J-hole of Illinois. It's going to be a fun show, and I really, really look forward to, you know, your stand-up comedy and your band, Utter Chaos. Man, and I thank you so much for being on here tonight and tolerating our BS here and being a part of this. I really do. And like I said, I've already told you, I truly admire what you do, and you know, not many people can do what you do, being a comedian and filmmaker and musician, etc., and balancing family at the same time. I admire that. That's beautiful to me, and I can't wait to hang out with you in the J-hole on June 22nd. and seeing you do your stuff live, you know, and just hanging out and having fun. And thank you so much for hanging out with us here tonight and having fun. And you're more than welcome to stay on here and BS with us if you want after this next break. And because we're going to talk about some other just fun stuff, just you know, please feel free to stay on and BS with us if you want. What do you think?
Well, I'll probably actually got to get up and drive to Florida, so I'll probably get off here, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pass
all
out.
Right.
I got about 4 hours of sleep, but thank you guys for having me on, man. And
yeah,
I can meet you and be a hell of a time.
Yeah.
So
fun time.
Thanks for being on it.
Yeah. Thanks for being
man.
On, Mike. And you know, have fun with the family down in Florida. And yeah, thank you very much. And we will see each other soon, Mr. Mike Brandt.
Once again, thank you guys. Good time.
All right. Take it easy,
all
Mike.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
Good night.
Bye, Mike. See you in J-Hole.
Oh, yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Are you guys still there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just checking. There was a lull.
I grew a beard because... I grew a beard because Indiana was the 19th state admitted to the Union. I grew a beard because mustard tastes better the second time around. I grew a beard because Ginsburg was sexy as King of May. I grew a beard because I resemble a 12-year-old boy when I shave. I grew a beard because I am supreme lord of mismatched socks. I grew a beard because every sort of supreme lord should have a beard. I grew a beard because I can't find a job and a job can't seem to find me. I grew a beard because I staple my thumb to the rain. I grew a beard because I first read Lundberg while on train rumbling through Arizona desert in spring 2001. I grew a beard to ward off the incessant swirling snakes winding through my dreams. I grew a beard because my confirmation name is Angus. I grew a beard because phantoms are always running around asking for the key. I grew a beard because she exists and he exists and she exists and she exists. I grew a beard to protest the idiotic mandible of Earth. I grew a beard like a garden of brownish-orange weeds. I grew a beard because I sit in my underwear strumming. I grew a beard because it's 44 minutes after midnight. I grew a beard because there are unicorn stickers affixed to the letters, and the letters arrive daily in my small corner of existence. And I thank the people who take the time to mail letters with unicorn stickers affixed to them. And hopefully I'm able to continue making post office box payments, which will prevent the post office workers from locking my post office box and probably returning my mail to sender, and or tossing all the unicorn sticker-laden letters in the trash heap. And yesterday the low fuel light was on the car, and the papal prophecies of Malachi are perhaps most interesting now, as we near election of Peter the Roman, supposedly as successor to the current Benedict XVI, and most days I get tired and stare at my bored face in the bathroom mirror under the pale dim light and run cold water and splash my face, though I've always secretly wanted to fill the kitchen sink with water and ice cubes and dunk my face and sing a few lines the way Huey Lewis did in the video too. I want a new drug in 1984.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That was a precious, precious song from the very mega-talented Tim Murray. And the title of the song is I Grew a Beard Because, you know, and we all grow beards. And I know Gasinski, Mr. Michael D. Gasinski, has one hell of a beard. And, you know, I can't even come close to, that shit, but... Here we are. We are in the, second hour. We have only 37 minutes left or so.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Mike does so much that, you know, he had to go more than an hour.
Right. So, you know, at this point, we have this, this experiment going on. you know, with, you know, internet dating sites, et cetera. But we still have not, like all three of us, you know, have not converged on a final site where we should converge and move this thing forward, this whole experiment. I mean, this is a show in itself if we could, like, make this happen. I mean, shit, I say we all converge on a swinger site. That would be hilarious.
A swinger site.
Yeah, yeah. You have a problem with that, Dr. Quinn?
No, I don't have a problem with it. I don't know. I don't know if I have a problem with it. I don't know. Go on.
No. Go ahead. Elaborate on your concerns about swinger sites.
I'm just asking under what premise would this be?
Under what premise? Are you fucking kidding me? Don't make me punch a wall right now, Dr. Quinn. Under what premise? Okay, all right, well, Dr. Quinn, you suggest a fun site for all of us to converge on. Oh, come on. You have subscribed to many of these internet sites.
No, I started telling you guys last week, and no, I don't subscribe to many.
Well, how many? Okay, how many do you have on your slate?
I told you I have one profile.
One profile.
That I check so sporadically as to not even count in real life. Seriously.
Okay.
I know you don't believe that, but it's true.
No, I don't believe it.
I know you don't, but that's fine.
All right, then. So, Mr. Krasinski, do you have a suggestion for a site that we could all converge on?
I don't know. Scatlover.com, is that a site?
I don't know.
Like a scat dating site.
Sounds hot to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, Jesus Christ. I think we should all converge on a swinger site.
Yeah.
I think a swinger site would be...
Since you object to the swinger site, why don't you find a site we can all converge on? You do the research.
Yes.
You come up with something.
Let's enter Dr. Quinn's comfort zone.
Gentlemen.
Maybe tweet about it.
Yes. Elaborate, Quinn.
I didn't say I objected.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm just saying I don't quite understand.
You don't understand what?
How the hell are we supposed to go as single people? Are we supposed to pretend that I have a partner? What am I supposed to do here?
Okay, all right. If we all like converge on a swinger site, listen here,
Are we a trio? Are we a threesome looking for a fourth? I don't know.
you know, Dr. Quinn, just
yes, here.
Yeah. What is your dating and sort of sex life like beyond all this? I mean. I mean, you're single, right? I mean, come on.
I am single.
You've definitely got something more exciting going on besides us married guys or guys with with girlfriends. Come on, you've got something going on there. Come on, elaborate just a little before we solidify where we're gonna go with this this internet dating crap. You have some experience, more experience than us at this point. Come on. Just shake off the antibiotics and the cough.
What?
And come on.
You stop talking, I will tell you.
Okay, please.
I am single. I am single with the occasional FWB.
What? You're single what?
I am single with the occasional friend with benefits.
Oh, see? Wow.
Which I have been telling. Have you been listening to me in the past? I don't know how many episodes.
Oh, hey, I know all about your little boyfriend. It's just, you know.
He is not a boyfriend.
All, the rest of us, we don't have that special benefit of having,
Yeah, because you're married.
Does that matter, really? I mean...
I would hope it matters.
Uh-huh.
Unless there is a tacit agreement between you and your partner that other things can happen. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at
you. Why are you laughing?
I admire you. And, you know, that's the thing. Okay. That's one of the things that fascinates me so much about you is the fact that you do have a special love, a little special boyfriend on the side.
That's fascinating. There's nothing fascinating about it.
Why not?
Oh, that poor guy.
And now...
See? There we go. The whole dynamic between you and this guy. Okay, we'll just call him the guy at this point, okay? The guy.
Okay, the guy.
Okay. Okay. The guy. Okay? It fascinates me, this whole dynamic between you two. I mean, you're older. You're sort of a cougar. Let's just put it that way, okay? You're a cougar. I do have a profile on cougar.com, Cougar Life, or whatever that, you know... Which, you know, we will save for a future show. But at the same time, I mean, wow, you know, the whole dynamic between you and a younger guy. And you, I mean, do you guys just have, like, this explicit sort of understanding that it's just a, I don't know, booty call, like, sexual thing or what? I mean.
Yeah.
Really?
It is. Okay. It is absolutely and. Yeah, we are completely a sexual thing. Completely.
Wow. Completely physical. You don't find this guy, like, in the least bit, I don't know, attractive, like...
Oh, he's hot. He is absolutely hot.
Well, physically,
absolutely.
Yes. But I'm talking like, his personality, et cetera. Is this a guy you would date or something? Or is it just completely just a fuck buddy?
As a matter of fact...
Oh, God, here we go.
No. Funny you would mention that. I was just talking to machete-wielding Tanya about this tonight at dinner.
Uh-huh.
If he and I were to date, it would end up terribly.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
Why so? Why can you have such, like, a physical relationship with someone and not, like, you know, feel that, you know, connection to them, like, on a, like, you know, emotional or mental level? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, I am not, I guess I should clarify.
Okay, yeah, clarify, please. That's what I'm asking.
clarify. Listen, let me talk here, dude.
Talk, please.
I'm very protective of him, I think.
Protective of him? Why? How
so?
As
a friend, as a, you know, just someone who, because he's kind of a fuck-up. And
mm-hmm.
He kind of is. And so, just, you know, having gotten to know him over the past, you know, I mean, really, like, serious talking and serious, you know, things other than, okay, when are you coming over?
Right.
Which was the first, you know, year and three quarters of the time we've been talking.
Right.
I think I'm extremely protective of him, and I don't want to see him hurt. I want to see the best for him.
Right.
Which is probably dangerous territory, but as a relationship, I think I would kill him. Because he, I mean, and not to say that young, I mean, yes, young people are young, and...
Mm-hmm. Cougar. Okay, go ahead.
Shut up! You're asking me a question I'm trying to answer.
Go ahead. I'm listening. This is fascinating.
Okay.
Seriously, go ahead.
Okay. You know, there are levels of maturity he has not reached, and there are things I would absolutely – it couldn't work as a relationship. It just couldn't. So that is why it is just easier for me, like, okay, we chat, you know, now more than we ever did before. I think I told you, up until, I don't know, 3 months ago, he did not know my name.
He did not, I swear to God. Why? Well, he didn't know your name.
What did he call you, mistress, or what?
No, we never referred to it. No, it's nothing like that. No, he did not know my name. We just never... The account that we put my profile on that he contacted me is obviously not my real name. So he knows me as a, you know, a kind of a, not a pseudonym, but a fake name.
Not a pseudonym. Just some, you know, just some cougar ass he taps. Wow.
No. I have an email for business.
Okay. Okay.
And that was the one that was attached, and it wasn't my real name. And that's kind of how he knew me as. And even though we actually have some friends in common.
Ooh, okay.
He apparently, which kind of, as a side note, which kind of makes me chuckle because he and machete-wielding Tanya are friends, and she and I are good friends, and I would comment and how he never figured out that my picture is there with my name, how he didn't figure that out, that it was me, kind of disturbs me. And
well, is that, you know, do you think that's some indication of his, you know, retardation? I mean, or
I do kind of wonder.
Okay, but so long as he's good in bed, right? I mean, so long as he's good in bed, right? You know, who cares if
precisely,
he's, you know,
yeah,
slightly retarded? But go ahead, keep going.
Yeah,
go ahead. This is great. Okay.
Well, anyway, so yeah, he didn't. I don't. How did we get on this tangent? We didn't. He didn't know my name up until like 3 months ago after we had started talking, and he was asking for a reference for a job. And I said, hey, tell them I sent you.
Oh,
and
you got quite an operation going on. Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
wow.
Oh
my
pull
God.
It off for 3 months. I mean, or for however long without him knowing your name.
Yeah, that's just slightly fucked up. I'm sorry.
But I have to tell you that was the funniest thing that has happened in like the last 5 years. It's like, seriously, you did not figure out my name. You have been to my house. My college degree is sitting on my entertainment center, and you never noticed that?
Yeah, you know, a college degree sitting on the, an entertainment center is the first thing I notice when I'm, you know, when I have a fuck buddy.
Okay, granted. Fair,
yeah,
all
exactly.
Right, fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right, so go ahead. This is fascinating to me. This is great.
I mean, if you were to tell me that you had your name written in the back of your underwear, then I'd say he's an idiot.
Okay, sure. I suppose there's that. But, okay, so you and I share a mutual friend, and you've seen me comment on her Facebook page, and seriously, you did not put the name and the face together? I couldn't be with a person like that. That
wow.
is not relationship material to me. It just isn't.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you're harsh.
I mean, shocking as that
well,
may sound, I just,
well,
anyway.
I would hope, you know, I mean, I don't, I would think any guy who would want a relationship with someone who was lying to them about their name, I would think they're fucked up to begin with.
I was not lying about my name.
You were not lying about that. What were you doing?
Not intentionally. If he would have asked
you
my name.
You set up a different email address. Jesus, I didn't do it intentionally. You know, I just have an email address. Probably,
Okay, point well taken. But if he'd have asked me my name, I certainly would have told him if he wanted to know.
Okay.
So he never asked.
I had a question, Grim. So in bed, did he call you by this fake name? Like in bed?
No. That is a really great question.
It is a good question. You're legit. Good question, Mr.
As a matter of fact, I don't think he's ever in... We have known each other now for 2 years. I don't think he's ever addressed me by my name, ever. Even though now he knows who I am.
This guy for almost 2 years couldn't figure out your name?
I swear to God. Swear to God.
And how many times had you guys hooked up at the... I mean...
Well,
come on,
question.
Cougar. Just spill it.
Over the course of 2 years, or?
Well, yeah, you're saying this guy doesn't know your name, yet you guys have hooked up.
I would say imprecisely.
Imprecisely.
Let's
we don't
say
care
once
about
a month. Once a month for the past 2 years.
Good
is a
Lord.
Safe number.
That's at least 24 times. That's at least 24 times. And the fuck, once a month
and
for 2 years?
It is more than,
I'm good
it
at
is
math.
More than 24 times.
Not basic math.
It is more than 24 times, but 24 times is, for our purposes, is accurate.
Wow. And he doesn't know your real name.
He has never addressed me by my name.
Wow. So while you two are engaged in the, the whole
the act,
euphemism, because I don't like to be vulgar.
No, not at all. My delicate sensibilities.
He never like pulled your hair and shit and said like, oh bitch, or oh, Dr. Quinn.
No, there's never been. Fuck me harder.
I mean. I find that hard to believe. He does not know your name. And how do you feel about that at this point?
He knows it now. He knows it now.
He best after 2 years, yeah.
But he has never referred to me by my name, ever.
Wow.
And I asked him about that. I did actually ask him about that, because once I found out that he didn't know my name, well, we were talking, I can't remember, and I said, wait a second. You didn't know my name. He's like, I kind of figured it out like a couple weeks ago. This was 3 months ago when we talked about it. I'm like, seriously? That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. That it never bothered you? And he's like, no, you were just always the mature mistress. Which made my life, motherfuckers. I swear to God. I thought that was the funniest thing. The mature mistress. Yes.
There you go. The mature mistress. That's the title of my next goddamn chapter.
First of all,
I swear to God, that's beautiful. This guy's
hilarious.
A genius. He doesn't even realize it, does he?
I have no idea. I will say he is a lot smarter than I gave him credit for in the beginning, because I didn't actually really think about how smart he was. You wanted to know. I'm serious. I am being honest. I never really gave it much thought.
Right.
And then we started talking after he had broken up with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I have come to learn that he is a lot smarter than I gave him credit for. But still not. I couldn't do it.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You just said that he's much smarter than you gave him credit for. Does that enhance him or make him more appealing now that you know he is smarter.
No. Because he's also racist.
Huh?
No. Because he is lazy.
Uh-huh.
And he's very spoiled.
Spoiled?
And he's very...
Spoiled by who? By who? By his sugar mama? His cougar mama?
Okay. Spoiled by his sugar... No.
Spoiled how? How so? This is fast.
I'm trying to put the words to it.
Okay.
He is the youngest child, and
okay.
I suspect he was either indulged or neglected completely.
Uh-huh.
So he is very manipulative.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm like, the things, as he was breaking up with his girlfriend and he would, you know, show me the texts and thinking that he was being very smart, and I would tell him, if you said that to me, I would kill you. Because, no wonder. And then he'd be like, I don't know why she's talking to me. Really? You really don't. And so I would have to explain why she's not talking to him. And he's just not at a place in his life where he can understand. Or if he does, he's just ignoring it because of whatever. But, no, he is not relationship material. I want him to find I want him to grow up. I want him to get a real job. Or I would love for him to go back to school.
Why?
And learn something or be passionate about something. And then I would love for him to find a real girl that he could not cheat on. And that he could be in a real relationship. Or if he needs to be in polyamorous relationship, if he could be honest
okay.
and say, listen, I dig you, but I need to fuck other chicks, and I hope you're okay with that. I wish he could be... No, seriously.
Okay. No,
because,
I take it seriously. I know. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, he just, you know, with his former girlfriend, it's like, you know, he loved her to death,
uh-huh.
or he says he does. I don't necessarily know that he gets that, but, you know, but he cheated on her the whole time. And
right.
I'm just like, dude, if you needed to be with other chicks, that you should have told her that.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, I'm
no.
not. I don't
I concur.
Care.
I agree. Yeah. No
so
excuse for that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. So he just, you know, I'm going to be better this time. It's like, well, okay, either be good or be honest about what you can handle, and I don't know that he's ready to do any of that, so anyway, that's the story on him, so that is why I will never, ever, ever, ever be interested in my FWB.
Wow. Dr.
As a relationship.
Okay. Very fascinating. No, seriously, you giggle,
no,
but, you know, I'm serious. I'm very fascinated about, you know, the whole dynamics of, you know, relationships and stuff, and you know, especially in this modern day with, you know, the internet and all these different things available, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I want us all, you know, to make these profiles and to explore the... you know, the whole dating scene or thing, because it's so different. It's so different and so just bizarre and crazy at this point compared to, you know, when we were younger, you know, when all three
right.
of us, I mean, we're all pretty much, we're kind of in the same age group.
Yes.
The whole dating scene, it's just this whole weird and different dynamic. And
yeah.
I find it very fascinating. And, you know, believe me, you know, I've been up and down the street a few hundred times myself with some weird shit and all that. But, yeah,
But I have a funny story, sort of.
You have a funny story? Don't doubt it for a second. Please tell us about it.
Well, okay, maybe not so funny, but...
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Somebody had told me the other day, and I can't remember, that I guess Plenty of Fish is, you know, that's the site that I have this profile on, and where I met the 28-year-old,
mm-hmm.
I guess POF has decided that they're going to put an age limit on people contacting people, and the age limit is 14 years. Evidently,
right.
Anything 14 years or within a span of 14 years is not creepy. Anything older than 14 years is creepy.
Okay.
So, I pointed this out to him the other day. I was like, so I hear this. And he was like, okay. And I'm like, I just found that funny. You didn't think that was funny? And he's like, well, I think it's kind of dumb because what if you're into someone older? And I'm like,
right.
Well, evidently 14 years is the drop dead of creepiness for POF. And if that had happened 2 years ago, he and I would not have been able to talk.
Wow. Okay.
Indeed. I think that was
Indeed.
Strange. But anyway,
yeah.
He didn't respond to that. So I don't know whether he thought it was funny as I did. I don't know.
Apparently
so,
not.
Yeah. I don't find that funny at all. You're starting to creep me out.
Really?
Just, no.
Well, okay,
I'm just kidding.
Why is that creepy? I think...
I was just kidding. I was totally just kidding.
Okay.
Okay? Just totally kidding. Yeah, yeah.
It's all right, because I am really kind of loaded up right now, and that pint
loaded
that I
up.
Showed you is
What are you loaded up
gone.
On? What are you loaded up on? Please
that
reveal.
That I took a picture
Come on,
of.
Dr. Quinn. Huh?
Rumble means...
I have, let's see, how many ounces is this?
If you refer to
wait. Okay,
enough.
Now I'm really pissed off.
Yeah, you should be.
Rumble is 50% alcohol? What? That's a screw job.
It's 100 proof, yeah.
100 proof?
Wait,
yeah,
so 50% alcohol is 100 proof?
Yes, you double the percentage and it gives you the proof. So if it's 40%,
oh.
It's 80 proof.
Okay, well, I am...
It should show it's on the label, normally near the top. I think it says 100 proof.
No, I see the 50% alcohol, but I had forgotten my percentages. Oh, there it is. Wait, there it is, 100 proof. Okay.
Yeah.
So
wow.
100 proof.
I've had
Dr. Quinn.
And wait. Let me
no.
see how many ounces did I have here.
Quinn, if you're referring to booze in ounces, you don't drink enough. Is it a pint?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. She's, yeah.
A fifth, a half pint?
No, you guys saw the bottle. Is that
you,
a pint?
Yeah, I saw that online.
Okay,
but,
that,
wow, you're beyond your
is,
limits,
I think
girl.
I've probably got a third of it left.
Wow, really?
I am going to be a disaster. So if any of you fuckers try to call me tomorrow morning...
I'm going to call you just as soon as the show's over. I'm going to be, like, dialing you up just to fuck with you.
I'll be up for a while, but once I go to bed, if you start calling me, I am going to kick your ass.
Well, but when I call, who do I ask for? What name?
Yeah, what's the guy's name that
well,
you, like,
me
did,
or
what, what's your, yeah, what's your little sugar boy or whatever, you know, what's
we
his name again?
We will call him Flip, and Flip is not here.
Flip?
Flip will not be here this evening.
You call him Flip?
That, okay, his profile name was Slip'em G.
Slip'em G,
huh?
Because
he's gangsta.
Slip'em G.
He sounds very hot.
Okay,
is he Caucasian?
Flip,
okay, here, last question.
No, he is
yes, Caucasian or
Caucasian.
Is he Negroid?
No, he is not. He is not black. He is white, but he is. He likes to pretend he's gangster. He's all into the, you know.
Okay.
Or wait. Oh shit! I'm so loaded.
Is he well hung for a white boy?
We had this discussion. Yes, he is.
How many inches?
Yeah, we already had this discussion, Brian.
Yeah, how many inches?
We did. We discussed this last week. He is.
I don't give a shit. I'm asking you right now. How many inches?
He is just under 8.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. I shit you
not.
Wow.
No wonder he's your little sugar boy. Wow. Damn. Okay. I guess, I wow, shit. I reckon if I was a chick, yeah. Just under 8
yeah.
inches? Yeah. I'd be all over that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you. You know, good for you. God damn it.
Good for you, honey. Good for you. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I better polish off the rest that I cannot believe that I'm actually talking about this. And he would, I you know, I'm sitting here thinking, if he ever knew that this existed, I don't know whether he...
You don't know if he'd
I'm
ever fuck
sure
you again?
So after Quinn, so after he found out your real name, you guys didn't become like Facebook friends or anything?
No. No, we are not.
It's strictly Dickly.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's 2 years. That's pretty,
and I should also point out too that this is one of two people that I have ever been able to have this sort of disconnect.
Wow. Two?
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
Lord.
No, because this is a very good thing because I have always sort of managed to, you know, if I sleep with someone, oh my God, I love you, or you know, that there's supposed to
yeah.
be some sort of thing about it, and it, you know, 9 times out of 10, that turns out to be a very disastrous thing, so the
right.
fact that I have been able to completely separate
mm-hmm.
him from, you know, okay, this is just sex, you know, and there is no feeling other than the fact that, okay, I am kind of a, I don't know, sick as it sounds, mother figure.
Ew, oh my God, your mother figure?
Well,
this sounds like you're a motherfucker. Is this true?
Well, okay, you know, but I'm saying.
Okay, I know, I get it.
No, it's that, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You
no.
know, I'm sort of, he comes, I like I said, in the last, since he broke up with the girlfriend, I know a lot more than I ever expected to know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, which I, like I said, makes me very protective toward him.
Ooh, okay.
And, you know, kind of breaks my heart, but still, it's kind of like, okay, I want the best for you, but that does not include me.
Right.
I will help you find the best for you, but, you know, I will
wow.
throw you out into the world and...
See, that's a...
You know,
but... That is a... You know what, Dr. Quinn? That is a subject for a whole different show. I shit you not. You know, being able to, you know, just be sexual like that with someone, and at the same time just be their friend and just sort of, you know, it's like, hey, I love fucking you, but at the same time, I emotionally connected to you, and I'll just throw you out in the world, but I will support you and help you find someone. I mean, wow. That's pretty intense to me. I mean, that's serious. I mean, that's a
whole different dynamic than I'm even
aware of.
Remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about how he found this new chick and everything?
Uh-huh.
And that has gone belly up, which I'm kind of surprised because I figured they'd be enmeshed in some sort of crazy, weird relationship. But
uh-huh.
that, I guess, went belly up. But I find myself, okay, if he's presenting me some chick and he's telling me about some chick that, oh, look at this, and, you know, I find myself genuinely worrying that,
uh-huh.
okay, is she going to be cool? Or is she going to be right? Or is she going to be good? Or not be weird? I knew this chick was weird. I knew that. I didn't know what it was, but I looked at her, and I'm like, no. No, that's not correct. I don't know who's correct, but that is not.
What was incorrect about her?
I mean,
according to your standards.
to my standards? Well,
you said she's incorrect. I mean, what? I mean, how so?
I think the fact, and this is probably judgmental, but, you know, I've obviously been very judgmental on the show before. The fact that, you know, remember I told you guys he sent me that picture of her in her underwear? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember every intimate thing like that. Yeah, go ahead. So, anyhow.
Because you care about my shit. No, the picture that he forwards to me of this new girl is her in her underwear.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a little disturbing. You know, that's kind of the first impression you have of her? I don't know. And it just seemed kind of weird, and she also had crazy eyes.
Yeah, well, you know, crazy eyes I find very hot. All right, well, you know what, guys? God damn. You know I love you guys so much. We're at the end here. No, seriously. This show, here we go. We're in the last minute. I just got the countdown here, 60 seconds. I love you guys, Mr. Michael D. Kaczynski and Michelle L. Quinn. Another great show. You guys just make this fun for me. And here we go. We're just going to roll out with a goddamn toilet flush. We're just gonna flush this shit right down the toilet. I love you guys, and thank you very much for everything.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.